Imagine sinking your teeth into what you think is a rock-solid securities fraud case, only to have the court say, "Nope, those investors, they aren't even covered by securities law." And that's exactly the kind of surprising turn of events that we're going to be dissecting today in Avenue Capital v. Shaden.
Yeah, it's a case that's got lawyers and law students, especially those dealing with investments and LLCs and just the always tricky world of securities law, really buzzing, you know?
And the backdrop for all this legal drama, none other than Quiznos, the sandwich chain.
Right. Like, who had thought toasted subs could lead to such a complex legal battle? But here we are. So let's break it down, right? We've got these two major investment firms, Avenue Capital and Fortress Investment Group, who acquired a majority stake in Quiznos way back when the company was struggling to restructure its debt. And the key here is that they structured this investment through an LLC.
Okay, I'm already sensing that that LLC structure is about to become very important.
You are absolutely right. So fast forward a bit, and Quiznos, unfortunately, continues to struggle. Avenue Capital and Fortress are feeling misled about the company's financial health, and they decide to go after the former Quiznos executives, alleging securities fraud, specifically under Rule 10b-5. And for those who need a quick reminder, Rule 10b-5 basically prohibits deceptive or manipulative practices in connection with the purchase or sale of securities.
So it sounds like a pretty classic case of investors feeling burned and seeking recourse under the law.
You'd think so, but here's where things take a very unexpected turn. The district court actually dismissed the securities fraud claims, and the case went all the way up to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, which ultimately upheld the dismissal.
Wow, that's quite a twist. I mean, how can an investment like that not qualify as a security under the law?
Well, the real crux of the matter here lies in what we call the infamous Howey test. It's a legal standard that we use to determine whether an investment contract exists and thus, you know, triggers the protection of securities law. The Howey test has multiple prongs, but the one that really tripped up Avenue Capital and Fortress in this case was the requirement that profits must come solely from the efforts of others. And this is where that LLC structure we mentioned earlier really comes into play.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. So
Sure.
their investment was through an LLC, and LLCs oftentimes they give members a significant degree of control, right?
Exactly. And the courts found that Avenue Capital and Fortress had so much potential control over Quiznos through their LLC agreement, things like appointing managers, amending the LLC's terms, having, you know, full access to all the financial data. And because of all of that, their profits weren't solely dependent on somebody else's work. You know, it's almost like investing in a bakery, but also having the power to, like, hire the head baker, change all the recipes, and, like, you know, monitor all the sales figures.
So even if they weren't actively involved in like the day-to-day operations, the fact that they had this potential for significant control, that was enough to disqualify them from securities law protection.
Precisely. The court supplied what we call an objective test. So it really didn't matter if Avenue Capital and Fortress were actually micromanaging Quiznos or not. It was the mere potential to exert control, as outlined in the LLC agreement, and that alone was enough to kind of change the nature of their investment in the eyes of the law.
Okay, that's a pretty significant distinction, it seems. It really kind of underscores the importance of, you know, understanding the level of control that you're getting when you're structuring an investment, right? Would you say that the court viewed Avenue Capital and Fortress more as like business partners than passive investors?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, actually. The court even went so far as to highlight the sophistication of these investors, emphasizing that they knew what they were bargaining for when they negotiated all those control rights. It's almost as if the court was saying, listen, you're savvy investors. You structured this deal for maximum control, but now you've got to accept the consequences that come with that control, and that includes a potential lack of protection under securities law.
It sounds like a pretty tough lesson for Avenue Capital and Fortress to learn. You know, they thought they were protected, but because of how their investment was structured, they ended up in this really kind of legal gray area. It makes you wonder, like, if they had a chance to do it all over again, would they have structured the deal differently? Maybe opted for less control in exchange for, like, the security of those securities laws?
Right, that's a great question. That's a question for a whole other deep dive, maybe one where we actually analyze, you know, alternative investment structures. But before we get ahead of ourselves, there's another pretty fascinating layer to this case that we need to unpack.
Okay, I'm all ears. What else did Avenue Capital and Fortress try to argue in court?
Well, you see, in addition to their securities fraud claims, they also tried to argue that their LLC interests should be considered as stock or other types of instruments that would fall under securities law.
Okay, so it was like a different legal strategy to try and get their claims heard.
Exactly. It was a clever approach for sure. But there was one major problem. They didn't raise this argument in the lower court.
Oh, and procedurally, that's a big no-no, right?
You got it. The Tenth Circuit just shut it down so quickly, emphasizing the importance of preserving your arguments really early on in litigation. It's almost a harsh reminder that even the most sophisticated legal minds can really stumble on procedural issues, and those missteps, they can have some pretty significant consequences.
Yeah, this case is already full of twists and turns, it seems like. We've got these sophisticated investors, a complex LLC agreement, and now this procedural blunder that added another whole other layer of complexity. So where does this all leave us? What's the big takeaway for our listeners who are out there, you know, navigating the world of investments and LLCs and all this stuff?
Well, I think this case really draws a bright line in the sand. LLCs can be really powerful tools to potentially shield investors from securities liability, but only if those investors have enough contractual control. And this has really huge implications for transactional attorneys who are drafting these agreements, and also for litigators who are, you know, strategizing their cases.
So this sounds like it's kind of this double-edged sword, right? Like, more control can be really attractive from a business perspective,
yeah.
But it could also mean less protection if things go south. It makes me wonder about the other side of this whole equation, too.
Exactly. We've been focusing pretty heavily on the investor's perspective, but what about the potential liability for the company itself? You know, like if an LLC investment falls outside the scope of securities law because of investor control, does that kind of create a loophole for companies to engage in, you know, potentially unethical or fraudulent behavior?
That's a fascinating question that we haven't even really touched on in this first part of our deep dive.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are going to dive into those potential implications for companies in the next part of our discussion.
So we left off with this really intriguing question, right? Like, does Avenue Capital v. Shadden kind of inadvertently create a loophole for companies? If an LLC investment kind of sidesteps securities laws because of the investor's control, you know, could companies potentially exploit this?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're venturing into some ethically murky waters here.
Yeah, it's definitely an area worth exploring. I mean, think about it, right? The core purpose of securities laws, they're designed to protect investors from fraudulent or misleading practices. But what happens if those laws don't apply in certain cases because of, you know, how the investment is structured? It seems like companies might have a little bit more leeway to operate without the fear of those specific consequences.
Yeah, that's a little bit unsettling. So potentially, companies could, like, see this case as a green light to engage in, you know, behavior that's maybe less than ethical, knowing that the investors might have limited legal recourse.
Well, it's not quite as, you know, black and white as that. You got to remember that other legal avenues do exist, of course, things like common law fraud or even breach of contract claims. But, you know, securities laws offer very specific provisions and remedies that might not be available in those other contexts.
Right, right. I'm also thinking back to the court's emphasis on Avenue Capital and Fortress being sophisticated investors. Does that play a role in this potential kind of loophole for companies? Is there this implicit assumption that sophisticated investors are just less in need of protection?
That's a great point, actually. There's definitely a tension there, you know. On the one hand, the court seems to be saying, hey, these are sophisticated investors. They understood the risks and they structured the deal accordingly. But on the other hand, shouldn't all investors, regardless of their level of sophistication, be protected from, you know, blatantly fraudulent behavior? It raises questions about fairness, I think, and whether knowledge truly equals consent, especially in these, you know, complex investment scenarios.
It sounds like a very classic dilemma, you know, kind of like balancing the freedom of companies to operate with the need to protect investors. Does this case potentially tip the scales too far in favor of companies?
Yeah, it's a valid concern for sure. If Avenue Capital v. Shadden ends up leading to a trend of, you know, structuring investments to intentionally avoid securities laws, it could end up having a pretty chilling effect on investor confidence in general. I mean, who would want to invest if they knew the legal safeguards were, you know, intentionally being minimized? It could create a scenario where only, like, the most risk-tolerant investors are willing to participate, and that, you know, that could potentially hinder capital formation and ultimately economic growth.
So what can be done about this potential loophole? Is this something that might require legislative action to fix?
It's certainly possible. I mean, as financial markets evolve and then investment structures become increasingly more and more sophisticated, laws often need to kind of adapt to keep pace. Avenue Capital v. Shaden could very well be the catalyst for legislative changes or, regulatory responses down the line. Perhaps lawmakers will need to actually revisit the definition of investment contract under the Howey test to specifically account for, these intricate control dynamics within LLCs.
It's almost like this, like a cat and mouse game, right? Lawmakers create rules, businesses find ways to operate within or sometimes around those rules, and then lawmakers need to come back and kind of adjust the rules again. It's fascinating to see how a single case like this one can have such far-reaching ripple effects.
Absolutely. And that's exactly why it's so crucial for lawyers especially to stay informed about these new developments, whether you're advising clients on investment structures, litigating securities fraud cases, or even just trying to generally understand the evolving landscape of business law. Cases like Avenue Capital v. Shaden, they really provide invaluable insights.
I'm curious, are there any historical parallels to this case? Have we seen similar situations where a court decision kind of led to these unintended consequences that then required, legislative or regulatory intervention to fix?
Oh, there are definitely precedents. Take, for instance, the Enron scandal way back in the early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
The collapse of Enron, which was fueled by all that accounting fraud and loopholes in corporate governance, it eventually led to the passage of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002, right? And this landmark piece of legislation, it aimed to really strengthen accounting regulations, enhance corporate responsibility, and protect investors from, from similar scandals in the future.
So history has shown us that when these legal loopholes are exposed, and especially when those loopholes actually result in, significant harm, lawmakers are often compelled to step in and make changes, right?
Exactly. Avenue Capital v. Shaden might not necessarily be on the scale of, something like Enron, but it does expose this potential vulnerability in the current framework of securities law. Whether or not it triggers a similar kind of legislative response remains to be seen, but it's definitely a development worth watching.
This case has really taken us on quite a journey, We started with what seemed like a very straightforward securities fraud claim, and we've gone on this deep dive into the complexities of LLCs and all the nuances of the Howey test, and now this really intriguing discussion about potential loopholes and the need for the law to kind of adapt. It's a great reminder that the law is not static. It's a dynamic system that has to constantly adapt to these evolving realities of the business world.
Couldn't agree more. And I think that's really what makes this case so compelling. It's not just about the specific outcome for Avenue Capital and Fortress. It's about these broader questions that it raises about investor protection, corporate responsibility, and, the ongoing interplay between business innovation and legal regulation.
Okay, so before we wrap up, let's try to distill a few key takeaways for our listeners, kind of like, the main points to take away from all this.
Absolutely. If I had to pick three main points to highlight, it would be...
Okay, I'm eager to hear your insights, so let's break them down.
Sure. So first, I think Avenue Capital v. Shaden really reinforces the power of LLCs as investment vehicles. But at the same time, it really underscores the need for careful consideration of those control provisions. How those provisions are actually drafted can have a significant impact on the availability of that securities law protection.
It's a crucial reminder, really, that these seemingly like minor details in an agreement can have some pretty major consequences down the line, right?
Exactly. Second, this case really highlights a potential imbalance, I think, in that control versus protection dynamic. So while, sophisticated investors might be expected to navigate all these complexities, the question is, shouldn't all investors, no matter their experience level, be safeguarded from, clearly unethical or fraudulent behavior? It really becomes a question of fairness and whether current laws, adequately address this particular issue.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if this concept of sophistication is almost being used as like a shield to let companies kind of escape accountability. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a pretty provocative thought, actually. And it leads right into my third takeaway, which is that Avenue Capital v. Shaden, it exposes this potential loophole that companies might try to exploit, right, to try and circumvent securities laws. And that could have a chilling effect on investment. And it raises these questions about whether legislative or regulatory intervention might be needed to address this, this emerging risk.
It seems like we've only just scratched the surface here, really, of of the implications of this case. It's a real testament to how complex securities law can be, and you know, just the ongoing challenges of trying to balance investor protection with all this business innovation that's happening.
Yeah, I agree. It's a case that will likely be debated and analyzed for years to come, I'm sure. And it just reminds us that the law is not this static thing. It's a very dynamic system, and it has to adapt to the evolving realities of the business world.
Well, you've certainly given our listeners a lot to ponder today. So as we start wrapping up this deep dive into Avenue Capital v. Shaden, what's like the one key message that you're hoping our listeners will take away from our discussion today?
I think the key takeaway here is that knowledge is power. You know, whether you're a lawyer who's, you know, out there structuring complex investment deals, a sophisticated investor who's trying to, you know, navigate all these arrangements, or even just someone who's generally interested in the intricacies of business law, staying informed about cases like this is really crucial, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, the more we understand about the nuances of securities law, the better equipped we'll be to protect our own interests and to navigate this this ever-changing landscape of investment.
Very well said. And as always, we encourage our listeners to kind of, you know, dive deeper into the case law on their own, explore the different perspectives that are out there, and, you know, form their own conclusions about all this. That's what the deep dive is really all about, right? Encouraging that critical thinking, that thoughtful analysis, and just a deeper understanding of the legal world that we're all living in.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on this deep dive. It's been great. And to everyone listening, until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
And remember, everyone, knowledge is not just power. It's also the key to making really informed decisions in a world that's becoming increasingly complex every day.